Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Tara Duggan. It is Monday, the 25th of August at 6:31. Happy National Banana Split Day. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about micro-credentials and we'll be looking at the entertainment and media sector and all the markets as usual. You could email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the exalted company of Lenny McLaughlin from Irish Life Investment Managers. Good morning, Lenny.
Morning, Joe.
Now, Meta has been in touch with the government here and they have threatened to drag Donald Trump into the row over fines. Tell us more.
So this relates to the $200 million fine that was imposed by the EU on Meta back in April. Now, this was, I suppose, at the height of the trade tensions and tariff tensions, and really it's become a political football in the meantime, Joe. Mm. So the core issue really is Meta's pay and consent model. And again, they introduced a service back in the end of 2023, and they basically gave consumers a choice whereby either Meta was allowed to collect their personal data and use it, or else consumers would have to pay a monthly subscription fee.
Now, it was about 12 or 13 euros. A month or something, wasn't it?
Of that order. Now, the EU has basically said this is in contravention of fairness for consumers. Mm. Meta has said if this fine is imposed and goes ahead, it will increase the cost of personalized ads for businesses by two or three times, and that will increase prices for consumers going forward. Now, to try and address this issue, as you said, Meta have been in touch with various ministers here, Pascal Donoghue in his role as head of the Eurogroup, but also with Ireland taking over the presidency of the EU next year, they've got in touch with a number of ministers as well, really trying to influence the Irish government to try and change rules around digital regulation over the course of next year. Now, in addition to this, what we're seeing is that as part of the EU-US trade deal, there's an arrangement there whereby both parties will address digital trade barriers. So there may be some out for Meta in this. I think this story is going to rumble on, Joe. We haven't seen the end of it. Meta has appealed the $200 million, and we're just going to see how it goes over the next couple of months.
Well, first of all, they always appeal, not just Meta, but all the tech companies always appeal, and they can drag it out because they have very good lawyers. The other thing is dragging Donald Trump into this. I mean, this is Adrian Weckler's story in the Sunday Independent. Dragging Donald Trump into this is something that might worry Marion Street, simply because they thought they had now done and dusted. They were done and dusted with tariffs. And that, you know, a ceiling of 15% has been put on this. But as you say, there is kind of still negotiations going on over the Digital Services Act. And Ireland can't force the Commission to rescind a fine.
No, it can't. And as you said, I mean, really, I think what the Meta just trying to do is trying to put pressure on various people in government here, particularly, as I said, with the EU presidency here next year in terms of the role that Ireland would have around the agenda for that. But also just threatening to bring someone like Donald Trump into the argument is really trying to put pressure on Europe generally to try and rescind this penalty.
Yeah, do what I want, or I'm bringing my big buddy into this mess. There's been a huge surge in investment in AI infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And there's been a corresponding surge in shares linked to, especially the Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. There is a growing worry that there might have been too much money, or there is too much money into the AI infrastructure business, and we could be looking at a bubble.
Yeah. Now, as you said, I mean, CapEx by the hyperscalers on AI has grown exponentially over the last couple of years. And you could see it even in the Q2 earnings season, Joe, where forecasts for CapEx and AI for the hyperscalers for this year has gone up by 12%.
When you say the hyperscaler, you mean Google and Meta?
The Mag 7, So it's going to go up by an additional 12% this year and 29% next year. So in total, those hyperscalers are going to spend about $850 billion on AI CapEx over the next 2 years, which is a fair amount of money. Now, Morgan Stanley have estimated that by 2029, that could be $3 trillion. So huge, huge figures involved. Now, as you said, investors have been questioning, you know, the return and payback on this and when it's going to come through. And that those fears have been exacerbated by a couple of reports, Joe, over the last couple of weeks. We had a survey done by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Mm-hmm. And in that, apparently, 95% of respondents said they have got zero return from their AI investment. Now, there's a couple of caveats around that report. It was quite small. There were only 150 companies surveyed in it. Mm. Now, writers of the report basically said there was no problem with the quality of AI itself, But what happened was, in terms of the adoption or integration of AI by those companies, it wasn't done efficiently. They also suggested that there were learning gaps where there were problems or mistakes that weren't addressed properly. Now, they do indicate that these can be addressed going forward, and therefore you should get some benefits from AI overall. Second thing was that Sam Altman, apparently, last week said...
He used the bubble word,
which scared a lot of people. Now, after that, I think he came out and clarified it, and he basically said, listen, AI will be a positive, but there will be winners and losers. Again, no surprise there, Joe. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at AI, we have been using AI internally in the investment arm, but also across the group. And we have seen huge benefits and efficiencies from it, Joe. Mm. Now, if you look at other sectors, there are clear benefits coming through already from the use of AI, particularly in healthcare. If you look at drug discovery, diagnostics, I'd say personalization of treatments. Again, if you look at robotics in manufacturing, AI has been used in that. You've seen huge efficiencies coming through there. And coming to a town near you soon, Joe, we're going to have, you know, auto driving or, you know, self-driving cars coming through.
Yeah.
So we are seeing...
No, Ireland will probably be the last in Europe.
It will be one of the last, I would say. But we will see benefits of AI. Now, I think the AI story is evolving, Joe. I think the beneficiaries are going to go from the AI enablers to the AI adopters. And I think that's going to come through quicker than we expect. I think by next year, we should begin to see that coming through. And with that, I think you're going to see a broadening of the AI theme within the market beyond those Mag 7 and AI enablers into the broader market. And I think you will see that spread in terms of performance then within the overall market.
Changing tack completely, the owner of OnlyFans, the website, is doing particularly well.
He has. Now, this story, Joe, I think what it really shows is that activities linked to the world's oldest profession are still alive and still generating lots of money. So what OnlyFans is, it's a platform which basically connects creators of content with purchasers of that material. Mm. Now,
that's a very technical way of saying an awful lot of nudity for which people are paying.
It is. Now, I suppose the platform really gained popularity through COVID, where what you saw was celebrities and sex workers basically joined the platform as content providers to try and earn money and widen their audience. Now, it's not just total sex industry on the platform. Mm-hmm. What we do have is that we have cooking, fitness programs, comedy, music, reality TV, they're all on the platform.
And they sell directly to online consumers?
They do. Now, the way the model works, apparently, Joe, is that OnlyFans takes a share of about 20% of the subscriber fees. They have grown last year by about 9% to 7.2 billion. Last year, we saw subscriber numbers grow by 25% to 388 million globally, Joe.
So 388 million people are
subscribing to this platform. Now, it's in the news recently, Joe, because the guy who owns it, it's a Ukrainian-American called Leonid Radvinsky. He bought it in 2018. He's now looking to sell a majority stake to an LA-based investment company called Forest Road. Mm. Now, details were revealed last week that prior to that sale, recently, he's actually taken 701 million in dividends from the company. So I suppose it kind of eases the pain of losing the majority stake in the company. Now, lest we think he's greedy, Radvinsky has indicated that he is going to sign up to the Giving Pledge at some point in the future.
To charity.
Mm. So this is where wealthy people give the vast part of their wealth to charity.
Warren Buffett has done it, and obviously Bill Gates as well.
Yeah.
And finally, Jackson Hole Symposium. Mm-hmm. It happened on Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
The view is that interest rates are almost certainly being cut next month.
Yeah. So the Fed has faced a challenging time, Joe, the last couple of months. You've had inflation rising, likely to rise further with these tariffs coming through. But at the same time, the economy has slowed, but not sufficiently to the level where rate cuts were justified. And as a result of that, the Fed has kept rates unchanged this year, left them, you know, unchanged since December last year. At the July meeting, the Fed suggested they weren't going to cut rates in September. Now, in the meantime, what we've had is very weak employment data. We saw downward revisions of 258,000 for the previous 2 months, the largest two-month downward revision in almost 40 years. Mm. So with that, the Fed at Jackson Hole and Powell in particular basically said because of these changed circumstances, the weakness and risks to the labour market, he basically gave the green light to a Fed cut
in September. Exactly what Donald Trump wants of
him. He's been looking for it for a while and is now going to get it.
Lenny, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe.
Lenny McLaughlin from Irish Life Investment Managers.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.